Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast. In this segment, we will be talking with Mr. Eric Pinto. He's the Senior Director of Channel Relationships at SOC Solder. They're a leading cybersecurity firm based in Hagerstown, Maryland. Eric, thanks for your time, and let's go ahead and get started, please.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Thank you for your time. Now, we did some background snooping on you. We looked up your bio on LinkedIn and on Google. You seem to have a very, very deep and rich background in the MSP space. Can you tell us the highlights of your career and how you got started and how you ended up at SOC Solder?
Yeah. It's been quite a ride. Started out in the email security space many years ago, doing email security, anti-spam encryption, and a little bit of compliance work back then. Worked with that business for a few years. Transitioned that business over to an MSP or a channel focus about halfway through. We were doing direct business before that, working with sort of smaller mid-sized companies. Discovered the channel through that process and realized that developing channel relationships was really a great way to introduce a solid product to an expanding market and really get in touch with the people that had the hands-on experience in terms of supporting small business.
Excellent. Now, how long has SOC Solder been in business?
Yeah, SOC Solder has been around for five and a half years. We spent the early part of that time sort of in stealth and really understanding the marketplace and as it really sort of affects smaller mid-sized business, and then started working with partners in the last three and a half years exclusively. We are a channel only, channel focused organization today, and I think it's really the right play.
Excellent. Now, is SOC Solder a company that you've helped create from scratch from the ground up also?
No, I didn't. I came on board with SOC Solder about 2 years ago as they were deepening their relationships in the MSP channel. We came together, found some synergies in terms of my background and experience, and I was able to bring some leadership to the channel side of the organization. Like I said, the channel focus is really where we live today, and as we continue to grow.
Okay, excellent. Now, who is your typical customer base like? Who do you reach out to? Is it the SMBs, the large companies like the Fortune 500, or perhaps say a mixed match of both?
Yeah, so we have the ability to scale into mid-size or even small enterprise, but I think if we were to look at a focus area or an underserved market, it would be the S&M, the smaller mid-sized businesses, anything from, the sub 100 space, which I think is completely underserved when it comes to having the right compliance tools, or even the the 250 to 500 range where there are tools available, but sometimes it's just not the right fit or finding the right price point is still a challenge.
Okay, excellent. Now, you alluded to it earlier just a few seconds ago, like about your channel strategic partner model. Do you rely on that 100% for your revenue, or do you reach out to customers directly? How does your channel partner work?
Yeah, great question. We do rely on it 100%. And again, it's finding that the most effective conduit to the actual business, right? So I think the managed service provider, the technology service provider, and the VAR are great avenues to the actual customer engagement. But further than that, I think it allows us to provide a suite of services at scale, allowing our partner, the technology service partner, the MSP, to do what they do best, which is boots on the ground, serving the customer, and providing a wide range of sort of IT generalist services, and allowing us to then focus in the security and compliance space squarely.
Okay, excellent. Now, how is working within the managed service provider MSP space unique? How is it, what is it like, and what makes it unique from other methods of sales channels?
Yeah, so, well, I guess we could address what it's like but by some of the challenges that are presented, right? So, in a normal sort of servicing model direct to end customer business, you would have that relationship. You would work to deepen and forge a relationship with the end customer environment. You would spend a lot of time and energy, really understanding the mechanics of the business and the network. We're able to take a step or two steps back from that and really, again, focus on our platform and making sure that our platform is providing, the right service, but then also helping to arm or weaponize our partner, our strategic partner, to then serve the customer. So understanding those dynamics, the fact that we're training an army of technology service partners or managed service partners, across the country, giving them the right tools, the right information, the right guidance, and the right awareness around our subject area, which would be security and compliance, and then having them then relay those messages individually to each end customer business.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at your website. You have distinct product service lines in four areas, cybersecurity, SIM monitoring, cloud security, and compliance. Can you kind of do a bit of a deeper dive into those services, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that if you zoom out a bit on those sort of those areas, really you start to get to what are the components that need to be secured from a security perspective and certainly from a compliance or regulation perspective, and it's the network side. So making sure that all of the connected devices and assets on network, that they're monitored appropriately, that there isn't any issue in terms of malware or ransomware coming into the network from outside via firewall, or even traversing the network from inside, introduced maybe from a USB key or a rogue device that's already been compromised. So on the network side, then we shift that focus then into the endpoint, providing coverage on the endpoint specifically, giving us the ability to remediate directly. So we can go into the endpoint, we can shut an endpoint down, we can make sure or analyze that endpoint more closely, and we can correlate that data back with our network data up to our SOC. And then lastly, in the cloud, so making sure that various cloud applications are not only secured, but secured in themselves, and I think a lot of that's handled maybe by the provider of that cloud service, but then the access, right, making sure that the access isn't compromised, that there aren't rogue agents trying to break in or access data and systems that they shouldn't from the cloud.
Okay. Now, when it comes to cloud security, what kind of cloud platforms do you use? Do you use the AWS or Azure? What do your clients typically use?
Yeah, so our clients will use a range of cloud applications. I think that sort of most directly we'd see things like AWS and Azure, and we have mechanisms to secure those platforms and the servers that you would build on those platforms. But then also Office 365 in the Microsoft space, CrowdStrike, and then a number of other security tools that are available. What we've seen in the last few years is really the rise of API integration. So our ability to pull data from these various systems and be able to analyze them in real time through our platform, which provides just greater service to the client. So you'll see them integrating with Microsoft Office 365, again, Sophos, CrowdStrike, Cisco's product Umbrella, and a number of other solutions. Basically, if there's an API interconnect, there's a good chance that we can also monitor and provide some additional guidance and awareness around what's happening on those systems.
Excellent. Now, obviously, judging by the name of your company, SockStarter, you probably have a security operations center somewhere. Without disclosing,
we do.
Without disclosing information, can you tell us more details about it? Like, where is it located? How many people you have working?
Sure.
Is it a virtual kind of sock, or is it a traditional brick and mortar? Can you give us more nitty gritty behind it?
Yeah. Great question. I think there's a lot of different ways that you'll see companies roll out security operations centers or security operations in general. There are some that would do it in a virtual sense where they've got maybe either many SOCs spread out across the world or maybe just individuals that are sort of logging in and protecting systems from their own from their own home. We really take the more traditional approach to our SOC. Not only is it a secured environment based in Maryland, but also everyone within our SOC is background checked. They're all U.S. citizens, and really checking all of the boxes that you'd want when it comes to security operations for a U.S.-based environment.
Okay, excellent. Now let's elaborate a little bit more on your services that you just kind of went over a little bit ago. Tell us more about your cybersecurity platform. Is there a certain area that you specialize in, you focus on, or do you kind of like offer a one-stop shop for everybody?
Yeah. Again, good question. I think that the one-stop shop is sort of a great ideal. We all sort of search for it, or maybe in some ways try to be that. But we really take an agnostic approach to our partners in terms of how we serve them. So we know that certain partners will come to us with maybe a set of products that they've already sort of built out, vetted, and just need monitored, and we can do that with our Cloud SIEM platform. And we have others that are starting from scratch, or they just don't have the infrastructure, or maybe they don't even have the awareness about the infrastructure that they need. And in those areas, we're able to be more hands-on. So we provide a traditional SIEM device, which is a security incident event management, where we're taking in logs from the Windows security or various access control logs or firewall logs or other logs that are collected on these devices, and we're able to then monitor those logs in real time, parse them for potential problems, analyze them using our systems, but then also weigh in with human analytics. So we're actually taking a human eye to the alerts that are produced, and then vetting them, making sure that it's actually a problem, and then working with our partner to remediate or alleviate the concern on the end customer side. So that combination of technology and the analytics and really the benefits that we can get through AI and machine learning, combining that with the human side, it's really what starts to differentiate us in the space, especially at an affordable price point.
Okay, excellent. Now, can you tell us more about your SIEM platform? And can you explain to our audience what a SIEM is before you actually do a deeper dive into your product?
Sure, and that's what I was sort of scratching the surface on before. But that is the security incident event management. That is taking again the various log sources that are produced on your network. You'll have network devices like your firewall. You'll have your servers, you'll have other infrastructure pieces that produce logs. These logs are typically, and these logs are voluminous, right? You've got tons of information. It's a steady stream or flow of information on the screen, and it's typically more information than the human eye would be able to read and process and determine if there's a problem in real time, right? So a SIEM will take that data stream, that flow, analyze it using various analytic tools and algorithms, and produce results that may be a problem. You don't quite know if it's a problem yet, but it's sort of matches all the indicators of it being an issue on the network. That's where SIEM normally hands off, and if you've got an internal team that can take those alerts and move with them, then I think you're all set. Where we really come in is taking all of the SIEM data and then analyzing it with our team. So we're applying our team or deploying our team to analyze those alerts, get rid of all the false positives. Every, you know, 9 out of every 10, you know, may be a false positive, right? So getting rid of those and really boiling it down to the, you know, the 1, 2, or 3 items that the customer should be aware of, and then working with that partner to remediate and alleviate the concern on the customer's side.
Okay. Now, for example, suppose a potential threat is discovered. Can you walk us through the process as to how they are alerted and how you try to mitigate that risk?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, from the partner perspective, or certainly from the end customer perspective, it's very simple. they get a call from our team for any high or critical level alerts. They may get an email and a sort of a basic ticket for a lower level alert. But there isn't a lot to do in terms of beforehand on the customer side. We're taking care of all of that heavy lifting and then only delivering to that customer the actionable item. So when we engage the customer, or the partner in this case, when we engage our partner, we're saying, hey, you know, if it's a low level, hey, you've got an issue. We saw it, you know, via email. It looks like maybe a user has clicked on something that they shouldn't have clicked, and based on what we've seen, you know, downloading, there may be an issue. That would be probably a medium or a higher level alert. We're now reaching out to that partner and saying, hey, you know, machine A, it looks like it experienced a problem at this time. You know, and then we can take further action. We can then click a button to isolate that machine, so that machine, while it may have already been compromised or infected, can't infect laterally anything else on the network. Well, that gives the technology provider time to then engage using their own systems, or maybe even go on site to roll a truck and go on site and actually, you know, further investigate the device, roll back the device or shut a device down and rebuild it, whatever they need to do. But we're giving them that time to do so that they, quite frankly, wouldn't have otherwise, right? That whatever systems they had in place didn't stop the problem, right? So if it was ransomware or malware, it's already now on the network or on the device, and they were completely unaware. Many times we're giving a call, and we're letting them know something that they're 100% in the blind about, and within a couple of minutes they're able to verify and say yes, Bob clicked on that email, and Bob's computer certainly is infected, and we're able to be the first alert of that problem.
Okay, excellent. Now, as we all know, you know, the cybersecurity world's been kind of turned upside down with COVID-19. Just a series of questions here for you. First, how has COVID-19 impacted your business and your clients?
Yeah, great. Great question. I think that we're all sort of in a new normal, or at least a new right now, where we're looking at our business and a business that was traditionally, you know, focused on bringing, you know, all employees into a location, you know, them doing whatever their set tasks are during the day, and then going home. You know, that's all been disrupted for us over the last 5 months. From our perspective, a network is still a network, so those things have sort of not changed. What's been introduced now is either corporate owned assets that have been loaned out to each individual household, and how do you provide connected or blanket coverage to those devices, or sometimes even worse, third party owned devices, employee owned devices that are now used as primary access to the network. And again, how do you secure that? So we're able to provide guidance and awareness, around what are the challenges, right? What potential vulnerabilities, exist in that employee-owned asset, and then ways to fix that or remedy it. And it may be as simple as pushing out an agent onto the device and bringing that device back into the fold. So, again, a network is still a network. So if we have an agent that can report back in and provide some analytics for us, we're able to then secure it as though it were on premise.
Excellent. Now, we just talked about Azure and AWS and M365. Are there any other cloud security options that you offer to your MSPs and clients? Because the cloud is getting a lot of traction, a lot of attention, you know, where people can access stuff a lot quicker, more securely, more safely.
Yeah. Yeah, that is something that we've seen. Like I said, we've really built out our system to be as agnostic as possible. So, you know, we've got certain things that we would need or require to be able to monitor an environment. We've spent some time and energy looking at, I think, the top solutions that we've seen deployed out in our sort of space. So, again, 365 being a big one, you know, and that entire range of suite of services, the Amazon cloud, make sure we can secure that. But then more directly, other sort of point solutions that you'll see rolled out. So you may see various firewall brands that we're able to integrate with, certainly various endpoint solutions that we're able to integrate with. And that integration is really just pushing alerts to us so that we can analyze on behalf of our partner and on behalf of the end customer. I think that the range of solutions that we have today will expand, you know, exponentially over the next year, 2 years, and 10 years, as people become more accustomed to what's happening in the cloud, and the so we're really excited about that opportunity, you know. But then we also have always sort of focused on in this area. So you know, Dropbox and other file sharing solutions has always been a challenge for environments as someone maybe locally on network. Maybe, you know, siphoning files off to the cloud in that way, and we're able to, monitor and secure that those transactions as well.
Excellent. Now, your product and service that we just talked about, can they come? Are they just like offered as one main package? Do they work seamlessly, or can a client pick things a la carte to fit their needs?
Well, yeah, they can, right? So any of our services can be consumed individually. So if you just wanted to secure your cloud environment, we have an option for that. If you just wanted to secure individual endpoints, we could do that as well. Or if you wanted to secure the network using a traditional SIEM type platform, we could do that. What we're finding, though, is that most environments are sort of best served by that hybrid approach where you're looking at your network, your endpoint, and your cloud together. And securing them all, and we're able to do that. And I think, you know, in a pretty affordable way. So our clients are typically leaning in that direction to just secure all.
Okay, excellent. Now, compliance is probably the biggest buzzwords after COVID. How does the regulatory compliance factor into what you have to offer to your clients, like the GDPR and CCPA being the two biggest ones right now?
One more time, what's the question?
The compliance. We've been hearing a lot about compliance issues these days. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the big buzzwords now after COVID. We've been hearing a lot about like the GDPR and the CCPA. Now, how does this compliance, how do they factor into what your offerings are?
Yeah, so whether it's GDPR or what's happened in California, I think that both of those are sort of built around securing personal data. Securing personal data. We've got systems that are looking for that PII, that personally identifiable information. But compliance is now much more broad than that. Every industry just about is affected by it, and every state has their own individual breach notification laws that have to be adhered to as well. There's certainly a clamping down on the securing of either critical data as it affects like supply chain and government work, or personally identifiable information as it affects everybody, whether that be employee records, whether that be health records, whether that be your credit card data. All of this data now, there's a responsibility for the business that owns that data or is managing that data to then secure that data, and we're able to help them with that across the board.
Okay, excellent. Now, as compliance becomes more of a focus for everybody, you know, every size business, whether it's large or small, how are you going to address this growing need out there? Do you have any plans of maybe adjusting or adding more to your product service portfolio?
Yeah, I mean, we continue to add, right? So, you know, if we look back at, you know, 3 years ago, we were really a network-focused organization, sort of wholly, right? So we were focused on our SIM platform. We were providing services basically and primarily on the network. We then expanded into the endpoint, giving us coverage to those devices that may be roaming on and off the network, or maybe users that are never, you know, touching the core network. And then most recently in the past year, turning that focus into cloud and expanding that cloud portfolio. So, you know, we continue to look at what the challenges are, how those challenges affect smaller and mid-sized business, and then develop our tool set to really focus and help in those areas.
Okay. Now, what are your general expansions, or what are your general plans for growth in the coming year or so? How do you plan to expand the business for Sock's Daughter?
Like I said a moment ago, the cloud is really I think the focus area for us as we, you know, if I have a crystal ball on what's going on today, I think looking at and addressing cloud and cloud access, I think, is an important part. But then, I think more broadly, it's really compliance and regulations, right? So, like I said a moment ago, GDPR, CCPA, you know, are just starting to sort of scratch the surface on this. The notification laws are tightening, where each state is now saying, hey, we need you to have a better handle on the data that you own, that you're managing. And all of these things require more or different tools to be deployed out, and we're able to provide those tools.
Okay, excellent. Now, as we wrap up our show, Eric, how do you foresee the cyber threat landscape changing, especially with the advent of COVID, like going into this year and going into next year? And what do you recommend your clients what do you tell them to help protect them from being a victim of a cyber attack?
Yeah, I'll separate those out. So, you know, the change is already here. What we've seen in the past 5 months has exposed a number of challenges, right? So, you know, businesses that had sort of expected that they were going to remain as normal, employees, you know, maybe 10 or 20% of their employees would be, you know, on or off the network, but 80% were, you know, working from the office every day. There was really no reason why that would ever change. You have to think of what's happened, right? We're in a situation where no one expected that overnight we'd adjust our business model and we'd go from, you know, 80% working in the office to 80% working remote. I think that as things normalize, there'll be some balance brought back into that where, you know, maybe it'll be a 50-50 environment. But I think that now that we've sort of exposed that people can work and be productive from anywhere in the world, that is something that's only going to grow. So I think you're going to see small and mid-sized companies decide to change the idea or the concept of an office or what an office is. I think that there's going to be continued expansion into making sure that you've got security or a bubble around those endpoints wherever they are in the world. And we're going to continue to adapt our platform to best secure that new normal.
Okay. And what do you have a laundry list of items that you tell people, hey, how do you protect, you know, like how do you
yeah.
protect yourself or how do you mitigate that risk from being a victim of a cyber attack?
Yeah, the second part of that question. So mitigating risk first comes down to understanding or being aware of the risk as it pertains to you, right? So, you know, what type of sensitive information am I as a business even managing, right? So if I'm let's say I've got a small florist, you know, in Dallas, Texas, my risk in terms of the amount of secure data that I transact or maintain is actually fairly low, right? I may have my employee information, I may have some credit card information, but that's about it. And I think the risk profile is fairly low there. But I think if you look at other industries, whether it's banking, whether it's insurance, whether it's, law firms, think about the volume of information about the client that a law firm would have, right? Or a mortgage company or an insurer, right? All these different industries haven't necessarily had stringent regulation around them, and maybe they should or maybe they shouldn't, but the data itself should be monitored more closely. And I think that that focus is something that we're going to see continue. So makes businesses just need to be aware of what their risk profile is, so that they can then start targeting the best ways to secure it.
Okay. Eric, we thank you for your time this afternoon. You definitely shed some new insight as to how the MSP model works and how you can help customers out like that. Thanks for your time and have a great day. We look forward to having you again sometime here in the near future.
I look forward to it too. Thank you for today.
Thank you. Bye.